Will you please turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 6 this morning? 2 Kings chapter 6. We'll be reading verses 8 through 23 this morning, continuing our Ridiculous Faith sermon series. 2 Kings chapter 6, starting in verse 8. Please follow along while I read. Now the king of Aram was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, "I will set up my camp in such and such a place." The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, "Beware of passing that place, because the Arameans are going down there." And so the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on guard in such places. This enraged the king of Aram, and he summoned his officers and demanded of them, "Tell me, which of us is on the side of the king of Israel?" "Well, none of us, my lord the king," said one of his officers. "But Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom." "Go and find out where he is," the king ordered, "so I can send men and capture him." The report came back, "He is in Dothan." Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there, and they went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up, and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "Oh no, my lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see." And then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. As the enemy came down toward them, Elisha prayed to the Lord, "Strike this army with blindness." And so he struck them with blindness as Elisha had asked. Elisha told them, "This is not the road and this is not the city. Follow me and I will lead you to the man you are looking for." And he led them to Samaria. After they entered the city, Elisha said, "Lord, open the eyes of these men so that they can see." And the Lord opened their eyes, and they looked, and there they were inside Samaria. When the king of Israel saw them, he asked Elisha, "Shall I kill them, my father? Shall I kill them?" "Do not kill them," he answered. "Would you kill those who you have captured with your own sword and bow? Set food and water before them, so that they may eat and drink, and then go back to their master." And so he prepared a great feast for them. And after they had finished eating and drinking, he sent them away, and they returned to their master. So the bands from Aram stopped raiding Israel's territory. Will you pray with me? Father God, you sit enthroned above this world and all the universe that you have created. You see, you know, you understand. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would give us your sight this morning. Too often, God, we see only what we see in the physical. Father, I pray, Lord, for understanding from your word of truth, that there's more to see than what we can see right in front of us. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is week 10 of our Ridiculous Faith series, and throughout the series, you've heard this main idea over and over again, that faith is the conduit through which we lay hold of the promises of God. The Bible wants us, God wants us to live by faith, and it's only by faith that we can lay hold of the promises of God. All right, we've talked about things like having ridiculous commitment and persistence in this faith. We've talked about this faith leading to healing and our preparation and God's filling and salvation and supply and cleansing in our life. Last time, we learned about God's ridiculous care for us. This week, I would like to talk about ridiculous sight. Our physical sight is precious to many of us. How precious, you ask? Well, in 1997, at an annual convention, Bill Gates, who at the time was the wealthiest man in the world, being worth about $40 billion at the time, He was asked this question: if you became blind, would you trade all of your billions to have your sight restored? You want to know what his answer was? Yes. I would trade all my money for the ability to see. That was his answer, and my hunch is that most of us feel the same. In the Bible, the theme of sight is all throughout Scripture, and it is often used in physical pictures for us, but they describe a spiritual truth. The spiritual truth that's described for us in Scripture is this: that we, as created beings, as fallen beings, as human beings, we have limited perspective. We are not able to see correctly. We don't have that ability. But God, who sits enthroned above all things, he can. He does have the ability to see correctly, and therefore we must depend on God to see correctly. Write this down this morning. Write this down. This is the main idea. Ridiculous sight is available to those who trust, exalt, and are led by the Lord. Ridiculous sight is available to those who trust, exalt, and are led by the Lord. Now, let's break that down so we all understand what I mean by ridiculous sight. Ridiculous sight is the ability to see or to comprehend things from God's perspective. Will we know everything? No, that's not for us to understand, right? But God makes his ridiculous sight available to us, and therefore we can, through his Spirit, have the ability to see and to comprehend things from his perspective. The Lord sees not as man sees. We see in part or dimly, but the Lord sees all things. All right, so ridiculous sight is available to those who trust. Available to those who trust. What is trusting? Trusting is firmly believing in the reliability or the truth or the ability or the strength of someone or something. That's trust. If I were to sit in a chair, which I don't have a chair up here, but if I were to sit in a chair, I trust that that chair would hold me up. All right? We need to trust in the Lord's ability and strength to carry us through all circumstances. Turn to your neighbor and say this: God's got it. God's got it. If you can say that, that is an act of trust, okay? And so a ridiculous sight is available to those who trust God's got it, all right? Ridiculous sight is available to those who exalt. What is exaltation? It's to raise to a higher rank or a position of greater power. So often we walk through life thinking that we're the stuff, right? That we're the power. But that's not true. We are created beings under the authority of a creator. All right, and God makes his ridiculous sight available to us, but only to those who would go through life exalting him. All right, turn to your neighbor and say, "You, not me." Yeah, that should be our attitude, right? And so those who trust, what is our mantra for trust? God's got it. Right? God's got it. And then those who exalt, what's our mantra for exalt? You, not me. Okay, last one. God makes his ridiculous sight available to those who are led by the Lord. Led by. What does it mean to be led by something? Well, it means to be shown the way. Right? It means that we will follow after someone. Okay? And so turn to your neighbor and say, "I will follow. I will follow." All right, and so ridiculous sight is available to those who trust, what is it? God's got it. Who exalt, you, not me, and who are led by, I will follow the Lord. Okay, we got it? Okay, listen to this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. We walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. Why? Because God can see clearly in all the ways that we can't. Okay? That's it. God can see clearly in all the ways that we can't, and it is better to trust the one who can see than to trust the one who pretends to see, or even worse, thinks that they can see and cannot. Amen. All right, so turn to your neighbor and ask this question. This is the question that I want all of us to comprehend, to think about, to noodle on this morning, okay? Turn to your neighbor and say, who's leading you? Who's leading you? Okay? That's our question this morning. This passage is about spiritual blindness and God's desire to bring his ridiculous sight to people's lives and hearts. I have this quote by Tozer. I love this quote. He says, "Religious instruction, however sound, it's not enough by itself. It's not. It brings light, but it cannot impart sight. The Pharisees looked straight at the light of the world for 3 years, but not one ray of light reached their inner beings. The gospel is light, but only the Spirit can give sight." I love that quote. All right, now this morning I have five truths about sight. It's been a while since I've done this, so I'm bringing you five truths from the text this morning. Truth number one is this: a stubborn heart leads to spiritual blindness and rebellion. A stubborn heart leads to spiritual blindness and rebellion. So what does this mean? It means that anyone with a stubborn heart can be blind. Does that mean that Christians can be blind? Yes. Yes, they can. Okay? So a stubborn heart leads to spiritual blindness and rebellion. And there are many ways that this happens. In verse 8, we see the king of Aram, or the king of Syria, attack the Israelites. Okay? So the first thing we need to understand is that blindness leads us to make bad or short-sighted decisions. Anybody here ever make a bad or short-sighted decision? Yeah? Oh, I want to pull that one back, right? All right, that's blindness. All right, so somewhere along the line, the king of Aram said, "Hey, I got a great idea. Listen to this one. I'm going to attack the nation that is guarded by the God of the universe. Doesn't that sound great?" Right? You say, well, he didn't know. He didn't worship that God. Oh, yeah, he knew. Remember, we've studied about his interactions with the God of Israel before. All right? He knew all about the God of Israel, and yet his blindness has led him to make a bad decision. Okay? And sometimes our blindness leads us to make bad decisions as well. We do unhelpful things. We make unhelpful choices in order to fit in. Right? We frivolously spend our wealth to scratch an itch or to fill a need. We make regrettable in the moment lapses in judgment simply because we want that thing, right? So we see only the thing in front of us. We say, there it is, I want that, and we go get it, even though it can hurt us in the long run. Blindness leads to bad or short-sighted decisions. Blindness also ignores the signs that we are going the wrong way. Blindness ignores the signs. Everywhere the king of Aram attacked, he was thwarted. Israel was ready, right? And so he was unsuccessful, right? But instead of stopping and saying, oh, wait a minute, maybe I'm making a bad decision, he ignored those signs, right? And the truth is, we do that too. We go after these decisions that we make saying, oh, I'm just going to double down on it. This thing has not left me satisfied. This thing has not brought me to the place that I want it to have brought me to. And we continue to go after it, even though in that place we were worse than where we were before. True or false? Right? I see it all the time. I've had so many conversations with people who have tried to commit suicide, who in the same breath will go, what do you mean that I'm not happy? It's unbelievable. It's blindness. All right? But we do the same thing, right? I've seen, you know, people flush their rent away on sneakers, right? Man, I'm getting kicked out of my apartment, but look at these, right? It's blindness. Right, we say things like, I know this is wrong, I know this won't end well, and then what's the word that we use after that? But. And we do it. It's blindness. Okay? Finally, blindness responds improperly to adverse situations, all right? So as we're going down the road and things are not ending how we thought that they would end, we react at it. That's the first thing, the first improper response that we have. We're reactionary to it, okay? We fly off the handle, all right? And so the king, it says here in verse 11, like his unsuccess, it enraged him, right? He didn't sit in his throne and think, man, maybe I'm making a poor decision. Maybe I should rethink this and seek counsel. No, it's just, it's reactionary. Ah! Right? Anybody react like that? Right? And I'll admit, okay, vulnerability up here, okay? This is the one that I do most when I'm blind, right? When I'm lacking perspective in my life. Something happens, right? And all of a sudden I'm like, blah! Right? And I just react to it. Question is this you? Right? When something happens, just you blow the top. The second improper reaction or a response is lashing out at people. Anybody do that? Right? It's never my fault. It's not my fault. It's your fault. I'm gonna blame you. I'm gonna go after you, right? The king does this. Which one of you is on the king of Israel's side? Right? It's an improper response. Right? It can't be something in my life that needs to be adjusted. It's your fault. It's not my fault. It's Chris's fault. It's my wife's fault. It's my boss's fault. It's leadership's fault. It's Trump's fault. It's Cuomo's fault. Hear me this morning. Lashing out is a sign of blindness. Thirdly, lashing out, improper response, pride. All right? It's prideful. Our response is prideful. In verse 13, he says to his people, he says, go and see where he is. This is actually a play on words in the text because he's blind. They can't go and see anything properly, right? But he says, go and see so that I can send and capture, okay? I'm in control. I've reached a hurdle. I'm going to go get over this, darn it. I am going to fix this, all right? It's pride. We believe we're in control. We think we're in control. We hope we're in control. We can't bear with the possibility that maybe we're not in control. It's pride. Guys, I want you to look at something in this text because we read the whole story. I want to point out that God, he actually blesses the Arameans in this text. Did you get that? God poured out his blessing on them. In this text, despite their blindness, it works out okay for them, right? But he does so by exposing their blindness and by crushing their pride. That's God's blessing. You say, well, that doesn't sound like blessing to me. It is. It's God's blessing. All right, listen, in his grace, God wounds us. And God thwarts our plans for our good. That's an act of loving grace, a grace-filled act by God. It's an act that says, I love you so much that I am unwilling to allow you to continue in your destructive patterns unchecked. I'm coming after you. That's God's grace. See, God is in the business of forming and shaping us. And he uses life circumstances, adverse things, painful things to break our stubborn will and our spiritual blindness in order that we might respond to him. Ridiculous sight is available to those who trust, who exalt, and who are led by the Lord. Here's my question for you. Will you respond to the Lord's attempts to bless you? A stubborn heart leads to spiritual blindness and rebellion. Number two, fear is the product of an inability to see. Fear is the product of an inability to see. Verse 15, when the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh no! Say that with me. Oh no! My Lord, what are we going to do? All right, now we've seen this expression before. All right, in the last sermon, we saw this guy with an axe chopping down a tree, and all of a sudden his you know, the head of the axe flies off. And what did he say? Oh no! What am I gonna do? Right? It's the same expression. All right, it's that sinking feeling in the pit of our stomach. It's that hopelessness. It's that realization that things are out of our control, that we can't do anything about it. And the question that we asked last time was, when we reach that realization, when we're in that situation, does God even care about that? And the answer was an overwhelming yes, he does. Yes, God cares about that. Right, ridiculous faith, we learned last time, holds to and believes in and is shaped by God's ridiculous care for us. Right? And never is the genuineness of our Christianity on display so clearly as through the crucible of choosing in those moments to hold to and believe in and be shaped by God's care. Isaiah 26:3. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. And the fact remains that those who live in fear of circumstances, we are blind to the reality that God is in control and that he can take care of me and my family and my circumstances. Question, do you have eyes to see it? Or, like the servant, are our eyes only on the physical, the circumstance? Fear is the product of an inability to see. Instead, number three, ridiculous faith lives with the sight that God has us surrounded. Don't miss this. Verse 16. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. And then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked, and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Guys, I want you to hear the truth from God's word this morning. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 17, there are nations rising against Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was a godly king in Judah, and the Lord sends him this message. He says, you will not need to fight in this battle. Stand firm. Hold your position and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. Go out against them and the Lord will be with you. All right? You ever have people come against you? Right? You ever have people challenge your character? You ever been in a tenuous circumstance? You ever encountered a stronghold that needs to come down? You ever been under spiritual attack? Listen to this. Isaiah 54:17. No weapon formed against you shall stand. And you shall confute every tongue that arises against you in judgment. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their vindication is from me, declares the Lord. Guys, these are the truths and the promises of Scripture. God has us surrounded. God's got it. Okay? Ridiculous sight is available to those who trust, God's got it, who exalt, you not me, and who are led by, I will follow the Lord. All right? When you say, well, Chris, my problem is really big. I'm not sure. I don't know if God can handle it. Okay? It's true. We all deal with this, right? All right? Despite the truth, sometimes that's how we feel. All right? In this, let's look to Jesus. He's the author and the perfecter of our faith. Let's look to him. In Gethsemane, right before he went to the cross, He had the knowledge of this unseen protection around him. Okay? He didn't use it, but he was aware of it. When the soldiers came to arrest Jesus, Peter, he reaches into his sword and he cuts off the servant's ear. Right? I'll show you. And Jesus is like, whoa, wait a minute. And in Matthew 26, 53, he says this to Peter. He says, do you not think that I cannot call on my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? What is a legion? Well, a Roman legion is 3,000 to 6,000 men. All right? And that's as many as 72,000 angels Jesus could just call on and they were there. He was aware. All right? Now, to put this in perspective, all right, I wouldn't want to take on one angel. All right? In 2 Samuel 24, we saw one angel take out 70,000 people, and he would have done even more if God had not stopped him. All right? Listen, if God is for us, who can be against us? God, would you open our eyes this morning that we too might have your ridiculous sight? All right? Ridiculous faith lives with the sight that God has us surrounded. Number four, God humbles us in order that we might respond to him in faith. God humbles us in order that we might respond to him in faith. Verse 18. As the enemy came down toward him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, strike this army with blindness. And so he struck them with blindness as Elisha had asked. Elisha told him, this is not the road, and this is not the city. Follow me, and I will lead you to the man you are looking for. All right? Well, there is one more thing that blindness does. I didn't mention it before. Blindness makes us lost. Okay? Blindness makes us directionless. Literally and figuratively, we are left staring into an empty void. Okay? I'll ask this question. What do you think happened to the army when they were blinded? Okay? Here they come charging down the hill. Ah! Right? Blinded. What do you think happened? Yeah. Right? I would. I'm blind! Wait. Don't move. Right? Of course they stopped. I guarantee you not one of them said, oh, wow, I'm blind. Let me keep barreling down this hill as fast as I can. Right? If you did that, it would end you. Right? Hear me, church. If you did that, it would end you. I beg that God would open our eyes so that we can see our spiritual blindness, so that we would stop running toward destruction. A recognition of our blindness, it stops us. Oh my gosh, how did I get here? Where am I? It causes us to listen. How do I get out of here? Where do I need to go? And it leads us to dependence. Ridiculous sight is available to those who trust God's got it, who exalt you, not me, and who are led by, I will follow the Lord. And here the army, they stop, they listen to, and they follow Elijah. And because they did that, they learned number five, that despite our pride and our blindness, God wants to bless us with sight, and he extends to us in that place his loving grace. Essentially, what Elisha says to them is this: you are not in the right place, but I'm going to show you who you're actually looking for. And he leads them to the king. Guys, are you in the right place this morning? Are you in the right place? After 27 years of COVID, are you in the right place? I wasn't. God did some work on me this week. It's wearing. Guys, in our own blindness, we too need to be led to the king. Not some earthly king, but the ultimate king. Only in this place, that king, he doesn't debate on whether or not to wipe us out or to kill us. For this king, he willingly took death on himself so that we might live. This king, he ransoms those who are captive by his own blood. This king, he proclaims recovery of sight to those who are blind. This king makes his ridiculous sight available to those who trust, who exalt, and who are led by him. Who am I talking about? This king is Jesus Christ, our Lord. All right? Our Savior. And my question is, would you put your faith in him this morning? If you haven't, for your sins, I invite you to accept him into your life. Say, God, I recognize you. I will follow you. But even if you have done that, would you invite him back into your life in the sense of like, God, would you lead me? Would you take away where I have become blind, where I have taken the reins back? Would you lead me once again? I thought it would be appropriate to close with a brief video about the story behind the song Amazing Grace and the powerful influence that its truth has had over the generations. Now, we all know the lyrics, but the power of the gospel is in its message. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Let's watch the video. I do apologize. It's a lower quality video, but I believe the message is there. So let's let it bless us this morning. Fears.